Now we come in chapter 16, to me one of the most remarkable chapters in the Bible. You have here a parable, and it's a parable of a little orphan that's been abandoned and dirty and filthy, and you just think there's no use doing anything in the world for this little orphan. And who is that little orphan? Well, let's look here. Chapter 16. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, I tell you, this man Ezekiel's not going to let you forget that he's giving you the word of the Lord. You may not accept it, but he wants you to know he's giving you the word of the Lord. Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. Who's that little orphan? Who's that little dirty, filthy child that has been thrown out, actually? Illegitimate. What about this little child? And who is it? It's Jerusalem. Will you notice? Verse 3, and say, thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity are of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and their mother was a Hittite. Now, this does not speak of the origin of the nation Israel. He's not speaking of Abraham and Sarah. What he's speaking here is of the city of Jerusalem. Now, the city of Jerusalem was actually an Amorite city. That was the history of it. If you go back to the 15th chapter of the book of Genesis, and I think I probably should turn there for a moment. In verse 16, he says here, but in the fourth generation they shall come hither, again, that is the children of Israel, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. It was an Amorite city, and it was also a Hittite city. And since I studied ancient history in school, they've discovered that the Hittites were a great nation, and they control that land. Now, that's the background of Jerusalem. Nothing to brag about at all. And as for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water. To cleanse thee, thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. Just thrown out. A little old orphan, illegitimate child, just thrown out. What happened? Listen to verse 6. And when I passed by thee, this is God speaking, and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Now, drop down to verse 8. Yea, I swore unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. I adopted you, made you my child. Then washed I thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with embroidered work. I shod thee with badger skin. Verse 11, I decked thee also with ornaments. God says this is what I did to Jerusalem. The application, I think, is quite obvious. You and I have a pretty bad background. Adam and Eve became sinners. You and I were born in iniquity. In sin did my mother conceive me. What do you got to boast about? Your ancestors came over on the Mayflower? Well, they were a bunch of sinners that had been saved by the grace of God. May I say to you, that's our origin. And we were dead in trespasses and sins. And what happened? He said, live, like he said to this city. He said to us, you must be born again. And what happened? Well, he made a covenant that if you trust Christ, he'd save you. God so loved the world. He gave his only that whosoever would believe on him, they wouldn't perish. And so he took that little illegitimate child, dirty, filthy, in its own blood. And what did he do with it? He says, I wash thee with water, the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee. He bore my guilt. No blood guilt on a child of God today, and I anointed thee with oil. And he anointed the child of God today with the oil of the Holy Spirit, and girded thee with fine linen, and we are covered with the righteousness of Christ that we can stand in the presence of God. Now, what happened to this city? Well, it became a harlot. And God have mercy today on the Christian. that will sell himself to the world for a bowl of pottage. You talk about Esau selling out cheap. How many Christians will sell out cheap to the world today? The devil can buy a lot of us, friends. He can buy us today by the, like you buy bananas, by the bunch. Oh, today, to be true to God in this hour in which we live. What a message is in this chapter. I tell you, Ezekiel is saying something, friend. Then he makes a statement, and I'm going way to the end of the chapter, in verse 53. When I shall bring again their captivity, the captivity of Sodom and her daughters, and the captivity of Samaria and her daughters, then will I bring again the captivity of thy captives in the midst of them. And then verse 55, when thy sister Sodom and her daughters shall return to their former state, and Samaria and her daughters shall return to their former state, then thou and thy daughters shall return to your former estate. Now, these two verses I've read are verses that several of the cults, and there are several people, have used these, and again, also chapter 37, and we're going into detail when we get there. They've used these passages of Scripture to promote the doctrine of restitutionalism. That is, that everybody ultimately is going to be saved. The interesting thing about all these cults and isms, that if you take their few scriptures, and they always pull out a few verses, and that's about all they have to rest a strange and weird doctrine on, and unscriptural doctrine, actually, and you see what it really means. Now, actually, here, and when we get to the 37th chapter, when a nation, God says, I bring you out of your graves. Well, what's he talking about there? He is not talking about the resurrection of the wicked to eternal life at all. He's talking about, in the 37th chapter, and here even of Sodom and Gomorrah, God says, I'm going to restore the nation. That has no reference to the people who lived there years ago. That city is to be rebuilt. And if you want probably the latest on it, there is a tremendous development along the coast of the Dead Sea in that area. Now, personally, I don't see anything down there to attract anybody, but they're going there. And it's my understanding that they've been toying with the idea, especially an outstanding gambler in this country. I think he operates in Las Vegas. The building along the Dead Sea at old ancient Sodom, the largest gambling center in the world today. I do not know how far along that is or whether it'll ever come to realization. But my friend, there are a lot of folk thinking about restoring old Sodom. And these scriptures have nothing to do with the resurrection from the dead of those people and that they're going to be saved. It's that there'll be a restoration. Now, when God speaks in the 37th chapter, it's a restoration of the nation, a revival of the nation Israel. And they come up out of their graves where they're scattered throughout the world. Now, actually, the Old Testament does not have the divine revelation concerning the future state that you have in the New Testament. God had no plan to bring back from the dead the saints of the Old Testament and take them out yonder to a place that he had prepared for them. Nowhere did he ever tell them that. He told them that there was to be a heaven down here on this earth. And the resurrection that Abraham looked for was that. And there is to be a restoration of the nation. You can't read New Testament development of this doctrine in at this particular point at all. Now, every one of these passages have to conform to the New Testament teaching. And the New Testament makes it very clear there's to be a twofold resurrection. The resurrection of the saved, the resurrection of the lost. And they're lost when they're raised from the dead. So you can't draw anything from these two verses here. It's merely the restoration of a nation. And unfortunately, a great many people buy that because it's unusual and they don't fit it back into the context here. Now, this chapter concludes in a most glorious way. God is going to make good his covenant with the nation Israel. And I probably should say, plural, covenants. He's made several with him. And the sin of these people, their rebellion, their constant departure from him, their backsliding, will not disannul, will not abrogate, will not destroy God's covenant with them. Listen to him. Verse 60 now. Nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with thee in the days of thy youth, and I will establish unto thee an everlasting covenant. God says, not only am I going to make the past good, I'm going to make a new one with you. Then thou shalt remember thy ways, and be ashamed when thou shalt receive thy sisters, thine elder, thy younger, and I will give them unto thee for daughters, but not by thy covenant. And I will establish my covenant with thee, and thou shalt know that I'm the Lord, that thou mayest remember and be confounded, and never open thy mouth any more because of thy shame, when I'm pacified toward thee for all that thou hast done, saith the Lord God. Now, this ought to be clear today, but unfortunately, these passages in Scripture are not studied very much at all. And if they were studied, you'd see that God still has a future purpose with the nation Israel.